Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's time for another special edition of the Monday Morning Podcast. If you're new to my podcast, you probably think, hey, what's a special one? Usually I'm here by myself, laying in my fucking underwear, running my yap. But every once in a while, I have a special guest, and this person will not let you down. This is one of my great friends in this business. This is one of the funniest bastards I ever met in my life. He has a new special coming out on Netflix called Mouthful of Shame. That's already funny. On March 14th, please welcome the legendary Jim Norton.
Thank you, Bill. That's a nice intro. I don't know how to handle nice things being said about me.
I know.
Does it make you uncomfortable when people talk?
That's why I was going as big as I could go, because I was feeling you squirming. One of my great friends. One of the best comics I ever saw. Just watching you squirm over there.
I can handle personal things.
Can you handle how far away we are from one another?
It is odd. My manager's kind of sitting there uncomfortably with his fucking giant cock bulge in the middle.
He looks like a retired figure skater. Sorry. All right. Anyways.
I can handle personal, like, because we are great friends, but any type of compliments of work, I can't. It makes me so, like, do you like watching clips of yourself?
I'm going to torture you for this next
hour. Oh, it drives me nuts, dude. I watched, when you get to watch a clip of yourself, when they bring you back, and then the people in the room are like, oh, yeah, that was good. It's so fucking embarrassing.
Oh, if you ever do a talk show, and then they're like, and they play either something you've already done or whatever you're promoting, I literally will, if they cut to it, and I actually look to the monitor to see if the crowd's watching it at home, and then I just literally, I'll put my fingers in my ears if I have to. I'll start humming. No.
Humiliating.
Oh, it's horrific.
I can't do it, man. I can't watch. Because then they feel like they're fake laughing, like they don't really like it. They're just playing along to be polite. I feel like they're just kind of being nice to little Jimmy Norton. They're just being polite to me.
The only way I can watch myself is if I filmed myself at a club, and I'm just watching it. But the second that I knew it was going to be uploaded or broadcasted, and I know that everybody's going to see it, immediately I'm like, oh my God, why did I do that with my hand? Why did this fucking, and everything just immediately, it's horrific. But having said that, I actually made sure in my last special that I sat through it. I sat through it a couple of times to make sure that at least I had like the look of it right now. Did you do that with your new special, Mouthful of Shame, that comes out on March 14th on Netflix? I'm going to hype the shit out of this.
It's funny. Yeah, I did it obsessive. I've probably seen it about 60 times, but just in editing. Like, I don't mind watching it to edit. Like, I go point by point over both shows. I know exactly what I want from the late show. I'll pull this from the early show. I'm really anal about it.
That's good. Good to have.
Yeah, because I don't trust that, like, anyone else. Netflix is easier because there's no commercials you have to worry about, and they don't give a shit if it's 56 minutes for promos. It can be an hour and two, hour and three. So I was very comfortable doing that. But like you said, as soon as somebody else is in the room, I want to hang myself. But I can do it alone all day because I know I'm doing it as part of, it's still part of the work. But once it's done, I'm like, I can never watch it again.
Oh, I walk out of the room. Yeah. Second, other people are going to watch it. Oh, hey, can I see that thing you're in? Absolutely. And then they sit down and I close the door and walk out.
Could you watch it with Nia? Could you watch it with someone you're really, really close to? If like it's not like somebody you need to impress. Or
I would have to be standing up. I would be standing up with my fucking hands on top of my head like that, like, is it good? Is it good? Does it suck? I'd be doing that the whole time. And she literally gets mad going, shut. She knows at this point, Nia knows to be like, you know, she'll just come up and say, hey, I watched your special. It was good. Or I watched this. It was good. And blah, blah, blah. And I go, okay, good.
And will you start, if a part's coming up that you don't like, will you go, I hated the way I did this thing, like right before it happens, because you're like, you don't want them to watch it and pretend to like it when you know it's not, it's fucking psychotic.
I have that thought, but it comes out like this. I just go, ah, I just yell.
Just a noise.
I just yell over it, and it will bother her. But I've also learned that, that you're going to think it's way, way worse than it fucking is.
But don't you find the comedians who are so comfortable watching themselves
suck?
There's something wrong with that.
They
suck.
Yeah,
man. I can't be around anybody.
A hack could literally watch a fucking marathon of their entire career and be, oh, yeah, I love that sport coat. I loved when I wore that. The way I rolled those sleeves up, I absolutely loved. Look, this one. There's a dog and cat thing. Oh, you're going to love this.
You know who I've been loop? I've been on a loop, a tear, watching Robert Klein videos. Because we are having him coming in, and he's one of my idols. And I'm watching like Robert Klein from The Tonight Show in 81, 82, 83, watching him on 74 on Soul Train or whatever. He was fucking great, man.
Yeah.
Robert Klein is a guy that most people don't mention. Like, no one talks about Robert Klein anymore as much. Like, they'll mention Pryor and Carlin. And Robert Klein is the most underrated guy, I think, to ever perform.
Seinfeld always gives him a bunch of props and was talking like how he was that, I think. That was one of his guys. He liked Cosby and Robert Klein, I believe.
Right.
And I forget how he put it, but he was like sort of their age. Like when he was doing those things in the 70s and he was going to colleges, like he was like that age, part of that generation. So he was kind of theirs,
right.
I think. He, like Carlin was more of a 60s guy, even though he blew up in the 70s. I think people from that generation remember him. But it's weird how some people, despite their contributions, will kind of slip through the cracks like that.
Right.
I find with most people that when that are like that, they're not into self-promotion. So if you're not spoon-feeding it, like the amount of fucking journalists out there, if you just tell them, you know, like, I'm one of the edgiest guys on the scene. Like, oh, what not? That's too straight. But if you're like the, I would always like, to, I don't know, I would equate it to Detroit that calls itself Hockey Town. Like
right.
They gave themselves a fucking nickname.
Yeah.
Like, why are you Hockey Town? Wouldn't it at least be Montreal? Montreal Canadiens, they have the most fucking, you know, championships. They got the fans will literally drive people out of town. I mean, why? Because you're that?
Well, no one
Michael Jackson, the king of pop. Not saying he wasn't good, but he kind of gave himself that, like,
right.
That nickname. But, like, a lot of hacks do that.
And nobody thinks that somebody would be a big enough asshole to give themselves a nickname, so people just kind of go with it. Like, people must have called him the king of pop, because nobody could be that fucking narcissistic to give himself the nickname the king of pop. But
press,
he probably did.
And the press loves them because they write the story for them. That's
right.
Why they'll love a Rex Ryan but hate Bill Belichick. Like, Belichick is smart enough to be like, you cunts are going to take any little thing that I say and turn it into bulletin board
right.
material. That's why he stands there going, you know, they're good. And I think next week's going to be a tough game. And just taking it one week at a time. And then they want a guy like Rex Ryan going like, oh, I'm going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then they love him. I didn't come there to kiss the rings. I'm going to go in there. We're going to shove it right up their ass. And they're just like, before he's done talking, their article is written.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they go 4-12.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love Rex Ryan. I love what a pervert he is. I love it that he loves his wife's feet. He's the best.
But
man.
He loves his wife, too.
Yeah, he does.
Dude, his wife keeps him on the rails. I swear to God, if he didn't have that guy, would have ate himself to death. I see it. Like, all that shit talking he does, you see, like, that's why I love that guy. When I watch him, like, his flaws, I'm like, oh, my God, this guy, he's a shit show. This guy's a shit show, and he loves his wife to death because she saved him. You totally see the whole thing.
Yeah, he's a disaster. He's a disaster.
I was trying to say it in a nice way.
Yeah, yeah, but he is. But there was something endearing about that. And I just started watching football again. I can't care about it.
You were the biggest. When we were coming up, you were
a huge Cowboys fan,
and then you were a huge Yankee fan.
Yeah, I started going on the road more and more. I just stopped caring as much. And I'm like, I'm putting in so much effort to these guys, and then I meet them, and they don't give a shit that I'm alive. I had a couple of bad experiences with athletes, and I'm done. Yeah, I was wrong about the Jeter thing. I was a baby. I really acted like a little douchebag. I was fucking... He was a dick to not sign my thing, but I way overreacted on the air. I'm embarrassed by that.
Well, if you go to the psychology of the way you overreacted, it wasn't really just your love... For the guy
yes.
and the team.
Yes.
You are a jilted lover, as Patrice used to always say.
Yeah,
jilted lover.
That's exactly what it is. I mean, you know, the husband that becomes a stalker is the guy that was obsessed with his wife. Like, you know, that's what I was. I was obsessed with them, and then they didn't love me. One of my biggest meltdowns was Gene Simmons, because he hurt my feelings. He blew me off when I wanted a photo, and he was kind of a dick about it, and it just ruined me. And I killed him on the radio about it, and then I kind of felt bad because he was nice to me the next time I saw him.
I met him one time. He was teasing me about losing my hair and shit. I just so wanted to be like, dude, do you think if anybody's buying that fucking Darth Vader helmet
on
your head?
Yeah, you're wearing a wok on your fucking head. That's terrible.
He has Chewbacca's hairline. Dude, and it is like shoe polished black. I mean, you can't, you talk to the guy and you just can't not even look at it. But what I love about him is he would sit here and laugh right along with you and not give a fuck and then just scribble down Chewbacca with hair. And the next day there'd be a picture of him dressed as Chewbacca with some kiss shit written on it. And he would make $1 million, unapologetically go make $1 million off of that.
He really doesn't care. You know, one thing I like about Gene, though, and this is one thing that Dan Rather interviewed him and he talked about he's a patriotic guy. Like, nobody loves America more than Gene Simmons, because his mother was in a concentration camp, and she came here when he was a kid, and he remembers...
Why did I think he was Iranian? I'm not the biggest Kiss fan.
Yeah, yeah, no, you're way off.
that's about as far off.
Yeah, he was... He's
Brazilian? I thought he was Irish.
Yeah, he was born in, his real name is Chaim Weitz, I think, and he was born in Israel. And he said his mother, Zig Heild, when she came to Ellis Island, and he tells that story to Dan Rather about how moving it was to have them tell her to put her arm down. So you watch that, and it's like, that's the gene he should be showing people.
Wait,
all
why
the
did
time.
She do that? Because she was.
She didn't know any better. She came to America, and she had to pledge allegiance to America to get in. That's what you did. So she Zig Heiled, and the guy put her arm down. It's like, no, you don't have to do that. So if that made Gene an incredible patriot.
Those people were so lucky back then that there was no YouTube.
Oh, boy.
That would have ruined her life.
It
she could
sure
never run for office, never even open a bakery.
Yeah.
The Sieg Heil, a little girl, is now coming of age. Yeah. Wants to make some pastries. Fuck you, you Hitler-loving bitch. It would be all of that.
Yeah, picture her with the statue behind her, Sieg Heil. Yeah, you're right. There's no living it down now. Do you have any clips about you? There's so many things on me that could ruin my life. That I think that it's almost, there's so many that they can't at this point. Things I've said or, you know, things I've admitted. Are there things in your life that you're like, fuck, I wish I didn't talk about that way back when because I didn't realize that it could someday haunt me? Or do you not care?
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna it's inevitably gonna happen to everybody. They're gonna go like, "Well, you said this in 2006." You'd be like, "Oh, did I?"
Yeah.
All right. Well, why don't you get in your time machine and have me apologize the 2006 version of me?
Yeah.
Like, you know what a lot of it is? I would equate it to the Eddie Murphy thing, where Eddie Murphy put out Delirious, and he did all that material about gay people, and
that's
everybody
right.
laughed, and nobody said shit. I'm sure gay people didn't, but mainstream did not. And then when mainstream catches up and starts to learn that, oh, that's really, you know, hurtful and blah, 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 to gape, then all of a sudden everybody's just like, you know, they talk about, oh, my God, they look the other way, blah, blah, you know, when they talk about that part of the special, they act, it's like, well, where were you during that year?
Right.
I know you saw it and you sat there and laughed the same way I did. I didn't know it was to that level. So I think you can do that with anybody.
Well, I think what lets Eddie off the hook, especially with that type of material, is the whole, you know, I was giving her a ride excuse for that special young lady. And boy, if that didn't make me love Eddie, nothing will. But, like, after that, you're like, all right, we get it.
I don't know. Who knows?
Good for him.
Who knows? I don't get involved in people's personal lives. I don't give a fuck.
I don't either. Not in a judgmental way. I love the fact when things about, let's say, any celebrity come out, they could or could not be true. It makes me like them more. Like, it makes me understand, like, yeah, this is a public persona. Like, I feel bad for this one major actor in particular who male massage therapist said he was doing stuff. And I feel so bad for this guy. I'm like, he said, what a torture it is to live your life being afraid you're going to get caught.
For being who you are, yes.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Oh,
stupid.
My God, that's got to be
fucking
It's going to
affect
horrible.
How much money you make because of the... Yeah, it's all... You know, a lot of that personal life shit, that kind of drove me away from ESPN. Because it used to just be the games and they'd show highlights and just seemed like a bunch of people, you know, broadcasting that just love sports. But when they started to just keep, like, delving into these people's lives and trying to, like, do, like, the controversy shit, I just, I don't know. I just kind of I got away from it after a while. That's why I love the sports packages. I just tape the games that I want to watch. I blow through the pregame. And I never watch any post-game analysis or anything. I just watch the fucking game.
And that's it.
You know, the Knicks recently, Hannibal Buress retweeted this thing where they did the first half with you went to the game and there wasn't a bunch of people running around shooting T-shirts at you every time
right.
there was a stoppage of play, not a bunch of music playing and all. I would have loved to have gone to that game.
Yeah, it is distracting, and they think we need constant stimulation and constant noise. Like, no, we're at the game. I'm okay just watching the game. I'm okay if it's the third inning and it's, you know, 2-1 and there's one. I don't need... It's fucking manic. Stop it.
Basketball's the worst. Basketball is the worst just because they run out into the court, and it could be like a really critical part of the game. 103-103... Timeout. There's like time for like one more shot. These fucking assholes. Guy comes out in a gorilla suit and shooting T-shirts at you and shit. And it's just kind of, it becomes like a Chuck E. Cheese. You're supposed to be teaching your kid the game here. Like, this is really important. And there's all these people with that extra excited look on their faces. They're holding the T-shirt up. I sit through all of that, hoping that I'm going to, you know, nobody ever sits with me. But I have this is my little fucking dream, is that I'll sit and everyone else will just stare fucking daggers at them and they won't do it anymore. I don't give a fuck about a bunch of cunts smiling, jumping off of trampolines, dunking the ball. It's actually embarrassing to white people. Like, look how little we can jump.
It's humiliating.
We need this here. I saw that at a Suns game. I had a great time at the game, but that bullshit, they're like, here they come, the crazy trampoline fucking guys. And it's like fucking nine white guys coming out there.
We don't need
gymnastics.
It.
Yeah, and there's nobody blocking them either. And there's mats if they fall. It's like a Nerf hoop, like taken to the next level. I'm sure someone's going to tweet me. Oh, actually, that's really hard, combining those sports. But whatever.
I hate mascots. I think they're unnecessary, and they're stupid, and they child up the game. Like we interviewed the Philly Fanatic in 2001.
I like the Philly Fanatic.
Oh, he smells. Those uniforms stink. That's what I remember about being next to the Philly Fanatic, the stench. I'm sure they all smell like that, but they all smell.
The dog days of August, man. That, you know, you're out there wearing some fur fucking outfit.
It's horrendous. And to me, they do nothing to make me enjoy the game. That's what I kind of always liked about, like, I hated the Mets because fucking Mr. Met and that big stupid
car. I love the lack of imagination of that one. It's just a guy with a baseball for a head.
Yeah, Mr. and then they name him after the team.
It really is
stupid.
That really comes off as the first idea. What are you going to? How about Mr. Met?
It's good.
He's got a baseball head. He's a guy, so we'll call him Mr. If we play during Valentine's Day, maybe we could have Mrs. Met. I actually love a mascot standing on a street corner, holding up a tax thing and doing a stupid dance when I'm sitting at a red light. It makes me laugh my fucking ass off. I don't know what it is. I think they should have them. Just mascots should be like in traffic. Like every 200 yards, it's just somebody doing a stupid dance just to entertain you. That's when I need entertainment, not when I'm fucking at an entertainment thing. I don't need entertainment during the entertainment.
In between the moments of entertainment, you don't need extra entertainment. And it's not even entertaining. Mascots are not entertaining. I never watched a mascot and like, oh, that was kind of funny or cute. It's insulting, and it's not necessary.
I would say the Philly Freak, the San Diego Chicken, there's a couple of classic ones where they were actually funny. That's about it. I always feel bad for the...
Do you like when they slide? When they run and they take the big slide? You're like, the little guy couldn't do it.
No, I like when the Philly Freak will walk up and fuck with the umpires and mess with people on the other team and stuff like that. It's I don't know. Like that's one of the classic ones. But I forget, the Red Sox, they tried to have one a long time ago. It was called the Fenway Freak, and he lasted like seven games. People were just pelting him with shit.
They hated him.
Well, it was like the 70s. This is when you could actually go there and be a fucking alcoholic scaring children. And then they brought this guy out in a fucking, you know, Muppet outfit, and he just got the Philly Freak. But now they have, this is so bad.
Is this the Green Monster one?
Yeah, and it's called Wally.
Wally, right?
Oh, it's like a pun. It's a mascot with a pun name.
Yeah, pun for what the park is known for.
Yeah, and then they sing Sweet Caroline during the seventh inning stretch. Just when I thought you're YMCA horseshit at the Yankees game.
Trust me, it's bad.
But at least it was the grounds crew. They kind of looked like, all right, like they took this boring thing and made it entertaining a little bit. Like that was kind of interesting. To watch people still spell out YMCA was just that was always tough to watch.
Yeah, but I don't need to watch the grounds crew singing what was probably the gay anthem for the 70s. I don't need to see them fucking singing that every seventh inning.
Yeah, that might have been the they were so gay and the shit that they were doing I think would actually be offensive to gay people. I'm a construction worker and I have a big mustache and I'm the leather guy. It would be like. Like, literally now, gay groups would be like, you know, you're perpetuating stereotypes. Yeah. We go to work in gray suits just like you do or whatever. But that's fucking hilarious.
Do you remember Victor Willis, the lead singer? Did you know they were? I didn't know they were gay. I was a big villain. My father took me to see them when I was a kid. It was them and Sister Sledge was the opening band. And I didn't
know
that.
That's a legendary, you know, disco show. Right.
Absolutely.
There.
That was like, for that might have, it was either them or Kiss was the first one. And I didn't know they were gay. But I found out, I didn't know what the Village was, a Greenwich Village thing. I had no idea what any of that meant.
I didn't either. I thought it was cool. They were like, that's the construction worker guy. Like, why is he construction worker?
Yeah, I didn't know.
They're
what
musicians.
Meant. Yeah.
Why isn't he just a bass player?
Or the Indian, Felipe Rose. He's still my favorite. I thought he was awesome. I loved his headdress. I really did.
I actually liked the one who looked like somebody who hit on Al Pacino and Cruising.
Oh, Glenn
Hughes.
That was
the one I liked. I thought he was badass. Like, that's why I never saw Rob Halford from A Million Miles Away, because I'm part of that last generation where if you wore a bunch of leather and had a mustache, you were like some badass.
You were badass,
motorcycle.
Yeah.
Motorcycle. I didn't understand that there was a whole other side to that.
I had no idea, but now you look back on old Halford video. I'll go back on YouTube and watch old Judas Priest from from that, what was that concert they did in like 83 in Philly? There was that Live Aid or whatever it was. You watch Priest from that and you're like, how did we not know?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
It's so obvious. Yeah. And I love the fact that he came out. Nobody gives a fuck. It's just Halford. You know, he's like a big power top. You know, he's a fucking ramrod. I just love the guy. Nobody gives a shit.
I think he grew into that role. He looked like a bottom early on. I think as he got older, you know, he got a little more comfortable with himself.
There's a story that he has a big dick and he put some guy in the hospital. Florentine told me a story. If you put a guy in the hospital, if you put any person in the hospital with your dick, you're a legend. And I heard that there was some hairdresser who for years wanted Halford to fuck
provided
him.
Provided it's consensual. Let's put that out there before that clip gets you in trouble.
And they're over 18. I'm talking, you know, the asterisk is that it's an adult in a consensual relationship or consensual encounter, and you willingly allow him to put your dick and you wind up in the hospital. That guy's a legend.
I'm just picturing the interview afterwards with the fucking other person. At what moment did you realize you were in over your head?
Yeah, when I told him he has to pull it out, and I realized there was still 4 more inches to go. Yeah, there was some moment where he realized this was a bad decision. But I heard he was bugging Halford to fuck him, and he was a hairdresser or whatever he was.
Who was?
Whoever the guy is that Halford fucked and sent to the hospital, and Halford finally did it, and the guy wound up.
Oh, you hate fucked him. All right, yeah. Fine, I'll give you the rock star dick.
Yeah, I hear he's packing like an animal, so there's nothing but good things.
Do you think he did
Halford.
It right before a show, so he's wearing all that fucking awful studded shit? It's just the sound of you screaming in his fucking milky thighs rubbing together in the leather pants. I'm sorry, everybody. Sorry to paint that visual.
He smells good, too. I interviewed him before a show one time. Me and this guy Troy from the show went to the, I guess it was the Garden or wherever they were, or the Meadowland. He smells so fucking good. So I bought the same cologne. A lot of times I'll smell cologne that British rock stars have on and I'll buy it. And
that's
it,
very specific.
It never, because they
smell. Are they gay British rock stars or just British rock stars?
No, Ozzy's not gay. Ozzy's the best smelling guy in music. Ozzy smells better than anybody. Rob Halford smells great.
I would never guess that with Ozzy.
You wouldn't think that he smell. You wouldn't associate him with like a really rich guy smell. But Ozzy, you can smell from down the hall, and he has it, I think, in his hair or whatever. It's this British cologne, and he fucking he smells fucking amazing. He smells amazing. Halford also smelled good, but it never smells good on me. I buy it, and I just smell like garbage.
How do you know?
Because I smell it on myself, and I'm like, it stinks.
I thought you can't really smell yourself.
Oh, yeah, the cologne you can. I put it on, and it's great for a minute, and I put my like shirt, I'm like, ugh, you suck.
It isn't, yeah, but that's self-hatred.
No, but I never get compliments on it. No one's ever said, hey, you smell great in that. Like, you know, when Ozzy walks in, people are like, you fucking smell. That's the first thing I noticed about it. First time I met him was with Jim Florentine in 97, and the first thing that struck me is this guy smells amazing.
It's not like they're not getting enough ass. You know what I mean? They got a show like, Jesus Christ, that's when you got to fucking send your wife into the next room. Yeah, go get some plates or something. Dude, can you hose that shit off of you, please, so I can still be married at the end of this?
How funny is it that he just, you know, he had that whole thing with Sharon where he got caught having the affair. And he's not, I love the damage control Ozzy does in an interview. He's like, well, I'm in a fucking band, aren't I? Like, that's his reasoning. Like, what do you expect? I thought that was the greatest, that's something you say to your friends, though. You don't say that in an interview after you've been caught.
I'm glad he fucking said that.
I am too. For if it doesn't get him divorced, I'm happy he said it.
Look, the amount of fucking people that aren't in his position that can easily sit back, you know, your fucking life is you're not in a band. You don't have all these women fucking throwing themselves at you. Like, what the fuck is he supposed to do?
I know. You're like a grounded guy. Like, I really mean that. Like, I look at you. You're married. You have a baby, and like you're.
I fucking booze, Jim. That's what is I that, do. Is I that stay what in the green room. Until everybody leaves and I booze.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I admire that.
I sit there and I just tell stories with people. They bring a bottle in and I'm with like 4 or 5 other. I did it the last night. I was just in, where the fuck was I? Stand Up Live in Phoenix. And they brought it. They had this bottle for us. And for 3 days, we just would, you know, taking a third. And by the last night, you know, we're just sitting in there. I go to cigar bars. I just basically go, but dude, I always used to look like fucking Ralph Malph too, so it was never really a problem. You know what I mean? I wasn't like a fucking, like Geraldo, rest his soul. I mean, that guy was like a fucking great looking. Those guys, if you're funny, and I always had like a really, you know, angry fucking energy. So like most women who had even remotely had a decent father or maybe an uncle that they spoke to, had a nice conversation right. once, would be running for the hills. And I would get these absolute fucking lunatics that would come up to me, and you know, so it kind of took care of itself, to be honest with you.
It is scary when you meet women, and like the girls you date at first or for a while, when you realize I represent something to her. Like, I'm an average looking guy, and there's some girls I've dated who are a lot better looking than I deserved, and like I knew that there were mental things there. I'm like, I represent something weird to her. It's a father issue.
Yeah, mouthful of shame, I would say that, you know.
Yeah.
Monster Rain. I mean, the names of your is very. Think you've carved out quite a niche for yourself.
Yeah, there, you know, I got to be honest because one time a girl tried to blackmail me. I had a girl try to blackmail me one time. She had no idea who I was, and we had hooked up a few times. Yeah, it was a money thing, not a big expense. We had texted a lot of dirty fantasies, and then she wanted me to send her money. She tried to blackmail me, and I'm like, "Well, I'll send you money to help you with this, but I'm not doing it that." And she goes, "Well, maybe all your friends would want to see your fantasies played out on Facebook." And I'm like, "You really don't know who you're talking to." And I text that to her. I don't give a fuck. Everybody who I know knows what I'm like and what I do. At that moment, I was grateful to be me.
Yeah, you got to be. You know what? When you put it all out there, you know, they can't get you. There's nothing funny. One of the funny, I wish that was a scene in a movie. Watching somebody thinking that they can blackmail somebody and they just completely don't give a shit. Dude, that, I'm not going to say the guy's name, but that happened to a hockey player. He was like in his 40s. And he,
oh, yes.
Yeah, he hooked up with some, like, 19-year-old. I mean, it was legal and everything. And she's just like, "I'm going to tweet this out, you know, if you don't blah, blah, blah." And he goes, "What, that I slept with a smoking hot chick half my age?" He goes, "Go ahead and do it. I don't give a fuck."
Yeah. And she did. Sometimes they will. They will at times do it.
She said she was going to. He said he didn't care. She did. And he didn't give a fuck.
That's
and
right.
Nobody else did. Oh, my God. This guy did something legal.
Yeah.
Like she really didn't have like a leg to stand.
Yeah, yeah. He did what we'd all love to do. Shame on him. Good for him.
Right.
But if you're married or if you got a kid, you know, there's so many guys that they, like, I heard a lot of rappers get, like, girls will, you know, special ladies. A lot of rappers, you know, are a little on the DL, as they say, about certain things. And they get blackmailed a lot. Like, I've heard a lot of times the girls will go, "Yeah, I want $30,000 or I'm going to start fucking screaming in the lobby." And there's been times where that stuff has worked. It's a shame.
Jesus Christ.
But you can't just go ahead. Go scream in the lobby, stupid.
Well, you know what? If everyone was like me, you could. And you. Like, I wouldn't give a shit. Like, that's what kills me. Like, whenever a controversy like that comes out, like you were talking about the guy with the massage therapist and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I always just think, like, I cannot fucking wait to go to his next movie just to make this type of shit go away.
Right. To support it.
Yeah. Because even the worst case scenario is they did something where they just fucked up. They fucked up. Whatever. You're saying the guy goes on the road, he bangs, you know, fucks around on his wife. I mean, that's between them.
Yeah.
Does that mean I don't like that song any better?
Right.
Those fucking people who do that shit, where they just go like, "Oh, fuck that guy. I'm done with this movie." Really? You're done with those movies? I'm done with his movies when his movies suck. You know, if he's not out there, you know. Those same fucking people will still go to Mass every Sunday, the Catholic Church.
Right.
But, you know, it wasn't everybody. It's like, is that really what you're thinking? That's just your fear of dying and not knowing where you go when you die, and you don't want to piss off the invisible guy.
Right.
All right? My brother said it the best. He goes, talking about the Catholic Church, he goes, "Dude, if that was any other fucking business, they would be shut down. Fucking shut down."
I'm still awed, and I think of this a lot, but the fact that you don't believe in name-calling. I've thought of that a lot, like how negative it is and bad it is. And it's something, and not that I've had cause to, because I'm single at this point. But
oh, in a relationship with the woman,
I've never done the
"you're a fucking bitch" and blah. I never.
I would never have thought, but hearing you say that, it's like, yeah, I guess it really is a damaging thing to do.
Can't do it.
Like,
can't, because
it
it builds up. It builds up resentment because people don't forget. Like, I got this weird thing. If my wife goes, "You know, you're a fucking asshole," I don't care. I know other guys that would be like, you know, you like that. It would hurt them in a way that they, as a man, they wouldn't want to admit. I don't give a shit, but like I saw enough guys growing up doing that "you fucking bitch" thing and everything like that, and I saw what that did. I was a little kid and just saw it. It didn't look, you know, this big deep voice yelling at the, you know,
right.
I mean, it just was not. It just I don't know. So I just made a vow. It was just one of those things. I was like, you know what, I'm not doing that. But then there was other stupid behavior that I guess I didn't recognize then. Then I repeated that. But that was the one that I didn't do.
So what do you do if she calls you an asshole? Do you talk about what she's doing as opposed to...
I go,
to
"Oh, real mature!" I wish I had the presence of mind. What do I do? You know, I definitely say the F word a lot, but I don't, you know... Well, now that I have a daughter, so I really I don't do that. I'm not going to fucking sit there and scream. And you can't yell when there's a baby in the room.
Does it really change the way? Because Sam, my radio partner, just had a baby, and it's like everybody I know is having kids. And I guess it changes the way you do shit, right?
Yeah, because there's that whole... I think for the first time in your life, you're actually aware of your behavior affecting other people.
Right.
with, you know, with your girlfriend or your wife, it's an adult to adult thing. So you really don't, you're like, oh, this person's an adult. They can drive a car. You know, I can say this stuff. This isn't going to affect them, you know. But it's when you have the kid and everything, and it's just like, you know, that this could actually affect who they marry.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
This, I that literally, you know, if I do what I'm, you know, if I flip out right now and I consistently do this, this could literally drive my daughter to a trailer park someday.
Right.
You know, and be one thing if I was just completely oblivious, then I could just sit at a bar going, ah, she's a fucking loser. You know, she grew up in a house, now she's in a thing. But I'm aware of the effect of it now, and then I would have to sit there and take on that kind of guilt. So, plus, I don't know. I don't, just growing up, there was a lot of just the era when I grew up, like every authority person was just so not approachable. And as I said this, and this is what it is, and you shut the fuck up. And it was that just, you know, that's kind of what stoked the whole fire in me, I think. So I try to, you know, I think you go one of two ways. You either repeat it or you just remember that. So, like, I actually got a really good compliment from somebody one time. He's like, you know what? He goes, Mike, you got to come by my house. He goes, my kids love you. And I was like, really? He goes, yeah. He goes, you talk to them like they're adults. I wasn't even aware I was doing it. Like, I would be talking to, like, his 10-year-old.
Right.
What grade are you in? Ah, you getting homework now? Oh, that sucked. I hated that. Like, I wasn't thinking that I was, and they kind of liked it that they were talking to an adult. Like, oh, this is somebody older who they think knows everything. He's saying how he hated it. Kind of made it okay to be like, oh, this sucks. Man, I hope that didn't make them not do their fucking homework.
Yeah, exactly.
But I would just, you know, I would address it rather than being like, no, you need to sit down. You need to learn that this is what life is. It's sitting there doing shit you don't want to do. Like, that's so much that you learn that you, like, you don't think that you can actually go out and achieve shit. Like, life becomes like, fuck, when is this over? Just staring at a clock.
And people saying that, I think half the times don't even mean it. They just think it's shit an adult is supposed to say. Like, you know what I mean? You sit down, you buckle down, you do your work. If I said that to anybody, I would internally be going, shut up. You don't fucking believe that.
I cannot wait to tell my daughter I don't know. I cannot wait to tell her. Why is this blah, blah, blah? And I'll just I don't know.
I don't know.
Why? Be like, well, you know, because I don't read. Why? I don't know, because it makes me sleepy. I'm just going to fuck.
Brutal honesty.
I'm just going to own up to it. There's a lot of stuff your dad isn't good at, sweetheart. You want some ice cream?
Did you want? I'm in the middle. Like, you know, I'm at a point where I'm 48, no wife, no girlfriend. Like, I don't know if I'm the best boyfriend candidate, but I'm tired of being single. Like, I'm kind of.
Oh, there you go. That's where I
got sick of it. You got sick of it, right?
Yeah, I got. No, you know what I did was I just looked at like what I was doing, and then you know, after like I used to joke about that on stage after like the 90th fucking person. That doesn't go well, and there's only so long you're like, dude, these chicks are fucking psychos.
Yeah.
And after a while, it's like, what am I doing?
Dude, you know, I chase them away in text. I've had some I've dated literally for. I lose people in text message. I'm so like, I want to either talk dirty or I just want to keep pushing the envelope, and the next thing you know, they stop talking to me. So I know I'm doing something wrong. It's not them. They didn't all talk it over. I'm just creeping them out on some level.
I don't know why that just reminded me of this. Last night I was watching what is that fucking show with Andy Cohen where he does the wrap-ups of the Real Housewives?
Oh, not his talk shows, Look What Happens Live.
Yes, that show.
Oh, that one.
So my wife always watches that show. That's one of those crossover shows I have to watch with her so we don't battle over the TV, right? So I'm watching it. It was Jennifer Lopez and, oh, Jesus Christ, it just went blank on us. Ray Liotta. Dude, Ray Liotta was fucking hilarious. He just answers. He doesn't give a shit.
No, he doesn't.
He just answered everything straight up. They were like, what? So for cocaine, like in Goodfellas, like what did they use? And he was like, cocaine. He just was saying that. And they would be like, who's the most? They played this thing, you can plead the fifth. And he never pleaded the fifth.
What'd they ask him?
They asked him like, who's the worst kisser of anybody? He said, you've been with this person, been with this person. And you know, Andy's doing all the things. So who was the worst kisser? Like this was going to be the thing. He goes, well, I don't think I kissed any of them. And he goes, well, then who would you guess? And he goes, oh, Sigourney Weaver. Just said it. They go, who's the worst actor, most overrated actor of the 90s? And he goes, most overrated? He goes, I'd probably say Clint Eastwood. And then somebody mumbled, blah, 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 over his shoulder. He turns around. He goes, I don't give a shit. It's just like, I fucking love this guy.
He is kind of untouchable at this point. He is Ray Liotta. He gets, you know.
No, but it was real. It wasn't the comic trying to be dangerous. He literally goes, "I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. I'm Ray Liotta.
And by the way,
who I am, I don't give a shit."
What a brilliant game that is. Plead the fifth on one of these three questions.
Because then what it would do, it would then passes it over to you, and then you got to, you know, and it's all this, you know, he did all these squirming questions. Like he was asking, like, Jennifer Lopez, okay, when you've been proposed to 5 times. Who did you say no to? And she's a nice person, doesn't want to say it. And Ray Liotta was just sitting there going, just plead the fifth. I'll answer something. Like, he just completely didn't give a shit.
Oh, is there two of them together?
Yeah, because they're on that cop show together.
Oh, you know, it's funny. I auditioned for that.
You did?
Yeah, I did. Dov Davidoff got the part. And I think he's better for that than I am anyway. Not just acting ability, but, you know, he looks more of the part of a kind of a slick, like, internal affairs guy, if that's what he's playing.
I didn't know Dov was on that show.
Yeah. He's got a good part. He brought Ray Liotta into the Comedy Cellar one night. But, you know, if I'm not going to get it, I'd rather see somebody I like get it.
That's great. And he brings in a glimpse of what your life would have been.
Yeah, cool. Hanging with Ray Liotta, that would have been fun. That would have been kind of nice.
Jim, you're next. What should they say about you?
Yeah.
It'd be the, you know, she's going up. Sorry, it was my bad SD impression.
It was a good impression.
Like she announces you before you go on.
No, but I understood what you're saying.
Oh, look. As bad as that joke was, everybody, Jim Norton's special is going to be the opposite of that. Mouth full of shame. I it's so stupid to keep going back to this when people listen to a podcast. It's not like they're turning the channel.
There's no commercials coming in from it.
But I just feel like I have to keep going back to it. March 14th, in case you forget. Because then they got to rewind and try to remember where and when.
Right.
Of course, we'll probably tweet it out.
I did love Netflix, too. I've never done anything with them before. I know you've done a bunch of stuff with them. Yep. But they're so easy. They're like, all right, just put it together. I mean, Robbie had a couple of minor suggestions. They don't overly manage you. It was like fucking great. It was so nice to do it. And I'm actually happy with it. Like, you know, you shoot something, you're like, this one I actually feel it's dirtier than I kind of intended.
Yeah, and wait, the next time you go to Australia, now that it's on Netflix, like, you'll sell tickets.
I hope so. I'm going to, I told you, you inspired me completely to do, I'm only doing this stuff because you got in my head, and I hear Bill Burr in my fucking head all the time going, "Dude, what are you waiting for?" And I'm like, I got to do it. I really do. It's like, but you were right.
Now watch, I'll stop selling tickets, and then I'll be like you watching Davidoff coming in with Ray Liotta. I'll be watching you selling out the fucking, what is that thing in Sydney, the Opera House, and I'll be like, I used to do that.
I you know, it's funny, I did one show there. It was a TV tape. No, it was TV taping and something else, and I enjoyed Sydney. Melbourne was good, but Sydney was really good. And
I like Melbourne a little bit better.
You did?
Yeah. And then Perth was fun because I landed there and it was Australia Day and everybody was just fucking getting hammered and shit. So I was like, yeah, this country's cool.
I didn't go to Perth. Was your first time
through? You know what's great in Perth is the Bon Scott is buried there. They got the statue.
I show you pictures of that.
Yeah.
We went to the Bon Scott wall in Melbourne. It was like in one of the things. Someone painted a tribute wall to Bon Scott. You know it's Bon Scott because it says AC/DC. But if it didn't, you'd be like, you know.
Or as they say, Akka Daka down there. I don't know why.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah. And then what is Burger King called down there?
I don't remember.
Ah, fucking
Royale with cheese.
Yeah, no, it's something.
That's from France.
No, because somebody down there actually had a Burger King and he sued the corporation. And what the fuck is it? You're looking it up, Jonathan?
Did you sell tickets when you first went through the first time?
No.
Yeah.
No, I think I did. The first time I went out there was like in 04, and I did something for Comedy Central. And we flew in from you know, New York, so it was like 6 hours, to 5.5 to L.A., and then layover, and then 14 hours.
Yep.
And you land, they let you sleep a little bit, and then it's like it's already the next day. And then we taped it, and then the next day you're supposed to go back. It was so fucking nuts.
Yeah.
So I was just like, well, fuck that. I'm going to stay here for a few days.
Hungry Jacks.
Hungry Jacks. That's right. Hungry Jacks.
Oh, okay.
That means nothing to anybody listening to this, but I thought it was cool. And I just hung out there, and I bought all these AC/DC albums on CD. The original, like was TNT. I used to know the names of these. Like, TNT was the original album that then became High Voltage, but their version had, like, Dirty Deeds on it. Which later became
his own album, yeah.
Became an EP over here. So we went, you know, I bought like all these, you know, because I got a big family. So I just bought them for all my brothers and sisters. And
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And drove around, saw the Apostles. And just driving on the other side of the road was really fucked up. And anytime I went to take a turn, like the joke was I would just pretend that I wanted to kill myself. And then I would actually make the right decision. Because everything else, it doesn't even make sense. You're like, what the fuck? This makes no sense. Especially when you make a right turn. and you're sitting on the passenger side and you got to go wide. You're like, what the fuck? You just picture like a semi. But late at night when I came out, I didn't know where the fuck I was at, but I was with this other comic, one of those comics. It was from like Scotland or some shit, an expatriate, and I just met him and I never saw him again. But we got on the road with no streetlights and drove probably maybe 800-900 feet. And at the same time, we both went like, oh, shit, and got over. But there was nobody coming.
Right.
We were starting to go up a hill. So
yeah, I'm sure people
get a car service when you're out there, Jimmy. That's what I'm trying to say.
We Ubered when I was there. I mean, Uber's there. It was great. But I'm also going to Norway, and I think I'm doing something in Scandinavia. And I've never been to any of these places. I'm doing all of them.
That whole run through Oslo, Helsinki, yeah. Stockholm, dude, it's the best.
But
those are just places that, you know, as an American, to actually go there, I mean, I think you got to be like, you're either in the Illuminati or you're like a downhill skier or some shit. Because other than that, you're not going to go there. It's just not on our radar to go there.
Right.
And they're beautiful countries. And the people are great, man.
Do you fly in and out the city? Because I have sleep apnea and I take Dramamine to fly. Like, I came this morning from Portland, so I'm like, I'm very loopy and I'm tired. And you just do a show that night and then fly out the next morning? I can't. I'm panicking about that.
What I do is I turn it into like a paid vacation. So what I do is I fly over there. And I either do the tour, and then I meet my wife afterwards, or other times I've done it like just because of our schedules that work out. Like, all right, let's do the vacation first, and then not only will I be rested, I'll be, you know,
yeah, there's things to talk about too,
acclimated to the time and that type of thing. So I've done both, but you know, there's all, you know, I build a lot of shit around sporting events and stuff. Like, you know what I wanted to go to this year? I don't think it's gonna work out though, but I was gonna go to that. There's this motorcycle race on the Isle of Man, which is an island between Britain and Ireland. I hope I'm saying that right, or fucking Wales, whatever the fuck you want to call it. And it's just this fucking motorcycle race that's just like, I mean, more people have died than years they've had it. It's just fucking,
really?
Dude, they're going like fucking 200 miles an hour down these country roads and shit, and they go like come blazing through town. I mean, it's like, if you love the beginning of the last Mad Max, this is like the closest you're going to see to the real version of it. I mean, these guys are fucking lunatics. Like, you know, they're going so fast in these little-ass country roads, and there's, like, stone walls and shit and trees. Like, you're dead.
And pedestrians are getting killed once in a while, too, I'm sure.
I'm surprised that so many people stand so close. That my only nervousness about it is, how can I get high up enough to see a little bit more of it?
Right.
Because I'm worried that it's just going to be like, you know, I'm going to stand, go fly halfway around the world and just see, be like, and then stand there for like another fucking 20 minutes. Because they go by that fucking fast.
And then that's it.
Yeah, I went to the Daytona 500 and we were in the infield on this little building. So I could actually stand and kind of watch them go all the way around. But like if you just stand, the first time I went to the Indy 500, I was just, you're just in a corner. And it just becomes this drinking game, and everybody's bet on like four different cars, and you just pray to God there's going to be an accident or some shit in front of you.
Right, just something interesting.
Yeah, and it's actually really amazing the first time you see it, and you actually hear this tires skid like a real accident. You're like, oh yeah, I guess it is a car. For some reason, I never thought it would sound like that. But the thing is, they're going so fast, is they'll hit the wall in front of you, and then the debris just, they fly down the
track. Oh, you've seen the accidents?
Yeah, I saw a guy hit a wall in front of me one time. But it's like, he hits it in front of you, and by the time your brain reacts to what that is, he's already a quarter mile away. It's not like they hit it and just stop.
Do you watch, like, boxing and MMA? Because you're such a sports guy. Do you watch combat sports or no?
Yeah, I keep going in and out of MMA. It's like, it depends on my road schedule, where it's like, you know, I work a lot on Saturday night.
Right.
And if a couple months goes by and I keep missing the fights, I hate it. But it's a big thing that me and my wife do. Like, she fucking loves it.
Does she like UFC?
Dude, she's almost embarrassing. Like, she gets up and yells at the TV.
Oh, great.
Like, she totally gets into it. When Anderson Silva, like, had the compound fracture of his leg, I was like, oh, my God, looking away. And she has this weird thing where maybe she should have gotten the medical field. Because it wasn't like she was happy it happened. She was just more fascinated by what it looked like. And it's just like, good Lord. Ugh.
Yeah.
I always call, that's like the, when they break that fucking thing, that's like, you ever see like a little kid put on like his dad's rain boot?
Yeah.
Steps on the side and just folds up. Like, I cannot look at that.
I was at that fight. That was their second fight. That was, nobody knew what happened, like, until the replay. You just saw him fall. And then the replay played and the whole place was like, oh, that was a horrible. But he's still kicking. He's still using that leg. He just fought.
I heard when you break the bone, though, doesn't it come back stronger for some weird reason?
They might have strengthened it with metal. I heard it was a pretty clean break.
Here we go. We're going into the abyss.
We don't know.
Does it make it stronger? I heard they did metal.
Yeah, we don't know. But he's able to fight with it.
Let's just give answers, Jeff. Let's just say why it happened. I remember overhearing somebody say that, and I never did any background check on them.
Have you ever gone to one of the fights?
Yes, I did.
What is that?
That's you.
Oh, is that the picture of him going by on the stretcher?
Jesus Christ. Jim, you look like you're in a fucking band, dude. I got to tell you, this guy took this weight off, what, 2-3 years ago? And you've kept it off. What are you doing?
I just eating in the gym. That really is it.
But when did you finally, because you were one of those up and down guys.
Oh, it was awful. Just that moment of clarity, I was like, ugh. Just so much fucking self-disgust.
What were you eating and where were you when you finally were just like, I can't do this anymore?
You know, I really don't remember. What I do remember is just going to the gym and going, I am going to go. I was just sick of, like, when you feel it in your back above your belt, that little bit of fucking fat. It's just soft, like a little lamb.
I started getting the effort noises, putting on socks. I was just like, oh, God, I'm becoming that guy. So I just, like, this last trip I just had, I got off the road 2 days ago. Now I've just been, it's so funny. I literally just 2 days of not eating Burger King or Steak and Shake. And I just kind of fell into this. I think it was just because of the lack of sleep I've been getting and just going out on the road and then having to do the shows and the pressure putting together the new hour. I've just been under a lot of stress and I've just been like, last second, oh, fuck, I'm hungry. Right. Now let's go here. I don't give a shit. Just stuff this in me and fill up the hole. And it just was, yeah. So.
Well, L.A. is dangerous for me because I go, this is what a fucking fruit I'm turning into. Jonathan and I.
I love that word.
It is a great word.
Fucking fruit.
We eat, I like eating sushi here, but then we go to the Yogurt Stop on Santa Monica Boulevard. I've been going there for years.
They think we're a couple.
It's my favorite place in the world is the fucking Yogurt Stop on Santa Monica. I love that
place.
Where
is that?
It's on Santa Monica by Rage.
West Hollywood.
Get a microphone.
Yeah, I know you're just talking to
Jonathan.
Thinner.
John. There we go. Sorry. Jonathan, for God, put on the fucking headphones.
Yeah, you're just speaking to Thinner.
Jonathan Branstein, Sorry. Everybody.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, Jonathan, who's very instrumental when we first started doing the Patrice O'Neill benefit.
That's right.
Was helping me get in touch with all the guys and everything like that. And
it's an amazing thing. It's still going on. It's incredible.
Well, yeah, just let
you
know how much. No. It's Maureen Tarrant. Maureen Tarrant deals with all the infrastructure and. The herd of ADD that is booking a bunch of comedians, dude. It's like
hard.
Literally, it's like you got 12 cows just fucking, or I guess what runs? Cows don't run. You got 10
bulls.
Things, you got 10 fucking things that run. They're all going a different direction.
10 things that run, all going in different directions.
There you go.
But February 21st, that normally when it is, right? Yeah, so we kind of know it's going to be in February.
Now.
Yeah, now. She lets us know in enough advance.
That's why we do it Tuesday, because sometimes fans go, why the fuck is this on a Tuesday night? It's because... Because guys are working for free, and this is what—that's the day when comedians are in town. So next year, I already know like one of the guys out here. Every year we try to like maybe fly somebody in, and we got an idea of possibly who we're going to try to use this next year. But it's been a great thing because I just hate like when someone passes away. Like unfortunately, we're at that age, you know, and where you have that one-time benefit. You're like, okay, here's your sack of cash. Good luck for the next 40 years, and it's you know, he was taking care of those people, so it's definitely been a great thing. So, but
and the thing about us, here's the, and I think of this too this year, is that it's the fifth annual one. I have officially done this 4 more times than Patrice would have done it for me.
Dude, this year I think might have been this year. I thought was the perfect combination of a great mix of people. The ball breaking was on a whole other fucking level. And then when Leslie Jones told that Patrice story, oh, my God, it was just fucking... Oh, dude, the shit that you said when Keith unfortunately suffered a mild stroke. Was it coming up on 2 years ago? Was it?
No, I'd say less than a year ago.
Yeah, a year ago.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, of course, now he's doing like some of his funniest shit or whatever. So Jim, when he outroed him, he goes, keep it going for Keith Robinson. He should have had a stroke 15 years ago. The place fucking dies laughing. And then your other one was like, what's funny is even after a stroke, Keith is easier to understand than Rich Voss.
Yeah.
And that was it. I don't know how you followed it with the rest of your jokes, but
People like the attacks on each other. That's always a crowd favorite.
You had one where you said, I think Colin came after you, and you said, he's here. He's has to be back at Men's Warehouse soon. Because he was wearing a suit that night. And it was just, oh, God.
What about Voss's awful hat this year?
Oh.
And Pete Davidson kept telling him the truth, going, it looks awful. I'm like, Pete, that's not how this game works.
Yeah.
You tell him it looks good, and you wait till he goes out on stage.
Yeah, you don't try to discourage him. You wait till he's on, and then you fucking attack him in front of the entire theater.
Pete Davidson was another one. That's the first time we had him, and he came out, and he was trashing Voss's hat. I think they actually making fun of us as the old guys. I think that.
But then Voss leveled him. Oh, Voss, because yeah. Pete talks about his dad dying on 9/11, and Voss said the one good thing is that Pete's dad didn't have to see him in that blouse, and he said he would have thrown himself in another fire.
Oh, yeah, that fucking, oh, my God.
That terrible sweater he had.
That artsy Golden Girls sweater he was wearing.
Yeah, that was really bad. It was really, really shitty.
I wanted to make fun of it, but I knew why I didn't like it. I'm like, you're on a TV show. You're fucking good-looking young guy, and if you dress slightly effeminate, it's like you're not getting enough pussy. So I knew that's why I was going to come at him. I was like, I can't come at him.
You knew the intention was wrong.
Yeah, I knew that I was just an old man getting jealous. You know, now I had DeRosa just showed up in that, then I would have. I mean, the sweater by itself should have been burned.
It was brutal.
It was bad.
But you knew the reasons for attacking it would have been more.
Yeah. It's like one of those fucking guys. Remember those... All those people that Madonna used to fuck in Soho in New York City. Those
young Latin guys.
Those
Jelly Bean Benitez.
Those artists. Yeah, he looked like when he dies, his artwork was going to be worth something.
Yeah, like a young, I can't remember.
Basquiat,
yeah. The young guy of AIDS, that's all I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I don't like any of those guys because it always makes me feel foolish because everybody looks at their shit like it's fucking amazing. And like one of the, I don't know, like the two ways when I always know that I'm a dope is when I try to read out loud. That and when I go to a museum, because I mean, you want to just talk about flatlining emotionally, and it means not. Dude, when I went to Paris, I went into the Louvre. I could not get out of there fast enough. I was like literally almost shouting at people, like, "Where is it? Where is the fucking?
Where's the Mona Lisa?
So I can look at it and get the fuck out of here." And you get out of there, and there's all these people just creating like a ledge with their other hand and then fucking holding their chin with the other one. And I was I peered over like it was the presidential motorcade driving by.
A quick look.
That was it.
Did it move you?
They
didn't give a fuck.
The only thing that was cool is it's been recreated so many times to be like, that's the actual one.
That's it, yeah.
And, dude, I saw the Sistine Chapel. I couldn't believe how fucking small it was. I think the guy was dogging it. I mean, it's saying it took him that fucking long. Dude, you walked in. I literally was like, this is it. And somebody went, shh, like shushed me.
I'll tell you what would be awe-inspiring. They recently dug up Christ's tomb in the church, and they had to do something.
Wait a minute. They know where he's buried?
They know where the supposed tomb of Christ. They do know. Yes, it's his supposed
that's
tomb.
That's fucking Al Capone's vault.
It probably is.
Like the Shroud of Turin.
It probably is bullshit. But, I mean, it is in Catholicism, they do kind of revere it. It's somewhere in, you know, Jerusalem, I guess. But these guys had to go down, and they were doing some kind of maintenance work on it, which they had to be done on the lid over the tomb. But I'm like, that would probably get me like, oof, this is a pretty important place. But the art museums do nothing for me. I did see the Washington Cross and the Delaware painting. It's fucking massive. It's probably the size of this room. And
oh, okay.
I was in the Metropolitan Museum. That was kind of, or is it the...
Well, I would rather look at that shit than something like abstract.
Yeah, me too.
That looked like you rolled a baby in paint and just fucking threw it at canvas.
I like
real. I went to the Van Gogh one, whatever country that's in. I went to that, and I actually liked that one. And it's not because he's a fellow fucking redhead. It was just, I actually liked. With Netherlands, yeah.
How about, I like Norman Rockwell.
You sure it's not in Denmark?
Isn't it Copenhagen? I thought it was Amsterdam, but maybe. It could be.
The whole way you dress lets me know. I know that you're right.
He has his initials on his shirt. He gives like the air of authority, but half the times he knows what he's talking about. Half the times he doesn't.
Is that where you have your initials right there?
Yeah,
that's very unique.
Yeah, the tailor does that.
Is that near your pancreas? Is that where you put it there? I thought you did it on the cuff link, on the cuffs.
There's two styles. You can do it the cuff. You can do it here. You can.
What is that? And what is that style?
I don't know. I've always had it here, though, so I don't know.
Yeah.
The tailor that I got this made at, he did it there.
He's a true gentleman.
I've never seen that.
Yeah.
Jonathan's a true gentleman, yeah. Mm. A true...
And I can tell how difficult you are as a client, because I know when you're not around, his shirt is untucked.
Yeah. He's getting a little rock and roll because I'm in town.
Yeah.
In case there's chicks to talk to.
Get him to the Greek. All right, we're coming up on an hour here. Jim, I'm such a fucking huge fan of you. And I always tell you this, dude. I owe so much of the tickets that I sell to on the road that you were generous when you got. A lot of guys would have got that Opie and Anthony gig and they would have kept the fucking door closed. And you let us all run in. So I want to thank you.
Oh, please, dude.
You know, and you as you can see, I'm blowing all my money on Foot Locker t-shirts here.
No, but you're doing, you're doing well deservedly. Like, you're a great comic. And it's not like you're
don't you
being
try
nice.
To top my compliment with the compliment, you son of a
bitch.
No,
but it is nice to see, like.
Mouthful of Shame.
I really...
On Netflix, March 14th. I love you to death, Jimmy. All the success in the world to you. I will definitely be tweeting this out. If you want to talk to Jimmy Norton, you can get him on Twitter at Jim Norton, Instagram at Jim Norton, Facebook, just type in Jim Norton, and jimnorton.com.
And you can hear me and Sam in the morning. I have to plug me and Sam Roberts. We are now doing the show together Monday through Friday, 8 to 11 on Channel 103.
I have satellite radio now, and I get to listen to you guys all the time. It's great.
It's really fun.
I finally get caught up.
Dude, oh, you do?
I can't believe how long I did satellite radio before I got it. It's fucking tremendous.
You just got it?
I just got it. I never had it in my car, and I finally never bought myself a nice car. I'm one of those frugal fucking douchebags, so I finally just said, I'm buying a nice car.
Did you have the little
radio? I was just like, whatever they said, you want this? I was like, yes. Do you want that? Yes.
Treating yourself.
Yeah. Climate control?
Yeah.
Yes. I just said yes to everything. That's why I get shitty gas mileage. It's so fucking heavy with all the options.
Thanks
all right,
for having me, man. I'm sorry I was late, too.
Oh, you weren't late, Jimmy.
I appreciate it.
You were building anticipation. All right, I'll see you guys.
Thanks, Bill.